Okay, so there are two scriptures this morning. The first one is Deuteronomy 5:20. I'm reading out of the ESV. Deuteronomy 5:20, and you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The second reading is Ephesians chapter 4, 25 through 31. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have to share, something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice.
So this morning, we are going to be considering the penultimate value for life. Over the last so many weeks, we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, and so we've got this week, and then we've got one more next week. And so I'm picking up on the "you shall not give false testimony." As we follow on from the last value, which looked at stealing, we can consider that the words we use and the power of words, especially spoken against someone, can actually steal their identity, their purpose, their value. So actually there's a link between the previous commandment and this one. I'm going to be picking up on what most of us would recognize as an untruth from a well-known phrase: sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That used to be something that was often said. I used to say that when I was a kid. And there's all varying alterations now, various differences, which you can find online if you put in it, various things. Do you know that according to the website WikiHow, in asking them to consider the number of words spoken by a person, any ideas? How many words would we speak in a day, do we think? Come on. Lots. Well, let's try and put a figure on what lots looks like. How many thousand do we think we're going to speak? 20? 10? 5 million? Well, okay, that could be right for you, actually, Sam, yes. Samantha, that could be right, but okay, so we've got 5 million, we've got 1,000, yeah. Anyway, so what they suggest is, or they've given, okay, they say, the lower estimates say people speak around 6,000 words a day, while some studies would say that we speak about 16,000 words a day. Now, obviously, this is also be very relevant for whoever you are, because some people's mouths work a lot quicker than others. So I think we could probably say that on average, we use in the region of 11,000 words. As I share this morning, I want us to keep in mind not only the words we speak, but also the words we write down, especially those within the medium of social media. Because so often we think, oh yeah, words is what we speak. Actually, we write words as well. So I would like us to be, as we think about this, as I'm talking, this isn't just applying to what comes out, it comes out what written and on the screen and is sent. You see, although words can reveal truth and bring comfort, like I can say to my wife, I love you, I value you, thank you so much for doing that, more often than not, our words hurt, enrage, tempt, and above all, deceive. For those of us who've had children, it's very exciting when your child utters their first word. If I'm honest, I can't remember what Esther came out with. Esther's our daughter, in case you, for those of you who are visiting. She's now, well, she'll be 21 in January, so she's 20 and a half. But I can't remember. I hope it was Daddy, but I don't think it was. It could have been, but I cannot recall. You know, there is a great awe when it comes that this word for the first time is spoken. And then we get them to utter it again and again and again. Oh, listen, listen. Say it, say it, say it. It doesn't take long, though, for the majority of children to develop their own speech, develop the unfortunate trait which all humans develop, that of stringing words together into what we call lies. Who did that? Not me. Who drew on the wall? My brothers used to draw on my mum and dad's walls, and I'd get the blame. But that's fine. I'm the older brother. Why do we tell lies? One reason is that we don't want to take responsibility for the things that we do. So we tend to go about blaming someone else. Who took the last biscuit, if you're in the office? Or who's finished off the milk, if you're in the workplace and you've got the work fridge? And who hasn't replaced it? I thought I saw Bob going in. Potentially it's you, but you deflect. You deflect. In fact, the blame game began in the Garden of Eden and has affected and infected every person since Adam and Eve. It shows really the state of our hearts. As Jesus' brother said, if you look in James 3, he shares that there. Whilst we are confronted time and time again with widespread extent of lies within the world, whether it's presidents, politicians, the tabloid news, our own lives, the way God conducts himself is in stark contrast. We are experiencing that at the moment, aren't we? That all these interviews with the politicians, and they all say things, and they're all saying this, and someone say that. The presidential stuff that happened in the week. Words being spoken. Untruths being shared. Being levied at someone else. God is the one who is always true. He never lies or is unfaithful. Whereas we often say, I don't know why he or she did that. It is so out of character. Have you ever sort of said that? Oh, it's so unlike them. God never does anything which we could say is out of character. He not only speaks truth, he is truth. So consider Jesus, a man who practiced what he preached, who lived truthfully and spoke of a faithful, trustworthy God, who proved himself to be true in his own life by raising him from the dead. God is not only the one who is truly everything that we do, say, think, and hear happens before him. Because you think, oh, nobody knows. God knows everything. He sees what we do in our minds, in our hearts. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He cannot be hidden from. Even when Adam and Eve tried to hide, and he said, oh, where are you? He knew where they were. He can't be shut out or consigned to a side alley. Whether we like it or not, nothing is hidden from him. On the cross, Jesus paid the price for our lies and our untruth. He took responsibility for the sins that we refused to take responsibility for. And because of his death, resurrection, and gift of the Holy Spirit, we can be offered a new start. We can be offered forgiveness. We can be offered transformation and the power to live a different life. You are offered an opportunity to live a different life if you wish to follow him. It is clear that for Christians, a new and different standard of truth is expected. If we think about what Paul's reading from Ephesians is, don't use foul language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of malicious behaviour. That's verses 29 and 31. Paul goes on in Colossians when he writes another letter. But now in the time is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behaviour, slander and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. We are called to be truthful in our speech, to be aware of just how powerful our words are, and try and tame the tongue. Now, we can all think of times when we've been affected by words. Words from people that we don't know, all the way through to people that are close, people that, as we saw, that we would trust. And, yeah. So this is interesting because words, we're focusing on the negative, but actually words can have so much power to build, to encourage. And I want to encourage us to be having that sort of a word out of our mouth rather than the other. To be offering words of encouragement. How often do you hear someone say something encouraging to you? Anybody? Once a week? Once a month? Huh? Several times a day. Well, that's great. But it seems a lot of others aren't having anything in a month. And that is reality, isn't it? There are so many people that don't get any encouragement whatsoever. So maybe this week, some of us, our challenge may be to offer words of encouragement, to offer words that will give them a boost. And it could be, especially for parents. We did this when we talked about parenting. Actually, think about how you can build your children up rather than tear them down. You see, we are called to be truthful in our speech, to be aware of just how powerful our words are and try and tame the tongue. As Lorraine highlighted for us this morning, our speech, if not used correctly, can mean that trust is broken. Now, again, a little folk story from the past where the boy cries wolf. Do you remember that? Eventually, people stop running. At the beginning, he's crying wolf and they come to help him. But eventually, when the wolf actually does come, they don't come. They have got fed up and they decided, we don't trust you anymore. I don't know about you, but there are people in my life that I don't trust. I don't trust everything that comes out of their mouths. And this comes from experience. Deuteronomy 5 says, do not testify falsely against your neighbour, which we can link in with the 8th commandment. Our words testify falsely can steal those things being accused. Did not the religious leaders have to get false witnesses? This then robbed Jesus of his freedom and his actual life. For so many in society, the tongue is not kept under control. It is used as a weapon for individuals to benefit at the cost of the other. Now, whether you know Jesus or not, I would love it if you did, but if you don't, this still has value for you. If you don't know Jesus, what's coming out of your mouth? If you know Jesus, what's coming out of your mouth? It is a weapon and it can destroy. So, what does it mean for us to be speaking the truth? I think we need to avoid lies. We need to be people and communities of honesty. This will mean a readiness for forgiveness. Because if we're going to be honest, there will be an opportunity. We need to be forgiving as well. If we are living a life of deceit, living a lie, then we should talk to somebody who we trust. We must seek to live in the light, not the darkness. So we need to avoid lies. We need to avoid living a lie, speaking lies. We need to avoid gossip. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, because I know you all do. And we don't do it on purpose. It just, it's come out. I'm not saying you're really gossiping massively big stuff, but we all do. Because we're human beings. We need to recognize that in considering the idea of bearing false witness is to acknowledge that gossiping comes into this. The book of Proverbs talks about gossip like the delicious food, like choice morsels. Huge amounts of money and livelihoods are made on spreading gossip. Think of all the magazines, newspapers that are based on it. We, as truthful people of God, are to be different. We should never take joy or delight in anyone else's misfortune, no matter how we feel about them. See 1 Corinthians 13. Nor should we spread rumours behind people's backs. When tempted to pass on gossip, we should ask ourselves, am I prepared to put my name to this? If we are concerned about something we hear, we should go directly to the person concerned. Don't be a muck spreader. Be unwilling to either give or receive gossip. You see, social media is rife with this. And the problem is, it's because we don't see the implication, you don't see the impact. But it's like a forest fire. Once you start it, it's gone. I've said it already, the word. We need to be encouragers. The Bible urges us to speak the truth in love. As a modern day proverb says, Lord, may my words be sweet and tender, for tomorrow I may have to eat them. Lord, may my words be sweet and tender, for tomorrow I may have to eat them. Be true to your word. Jesus encourages us to let our yes be yes and our no be no. We are to be people who say what we mean and mean what we say. We must be careful, therefore, before promising things and before committing ourselves. Whatever else those around us say about us, our Christian lives, let them not be able to say that we are being hypocrites. If we're going to say we're a Christian, then we need to live as a Christian. We need to speak as a Christian. Not have people say, well, you're saying this, but you're acting like this. Or you're meant to be this, but you're speaking like this. Be a listener. As a church, we've done a listening course a few months ago. So we've got loads of people who are really good at listening. Well, better at listening. God gave us two ears, one mouth. Let's use them well. And let's use them in the correspondence to the mouth we've got. Let us think before we speak and take time to listen to others. Personally, there have been times when I've had to take note of what someone has said. This is because they are someone who probably is on a 6,000 end of the scale. I don't know. You may know people like this who, when they speak, it's worth listening to what they say. Because they don't speak very often. But when they do, it's a nugget. Not to say that people who haven't got anything good to say. But I know some people, my old church, there's a couple of people. No, I'm not going to share that. But, you know, it's this idea of actually, it is always good. We're talking about to listen. But to listen well. Not think you're listening, but actually you're thinking about what am I going to say in response. Actually listen. Because that will then measure what's going to come out of here. So be a listener. It is appropriate to not say anything at all and just remain quiet. We need to be accountable. We must have relationships where we have a commitment to openness and honesty. We need to find people who we can share weaknesses with and who will ask us the difficult questions and whom we have promised to tell the truth. Now, as part of my role, I have elected to have a spiritual supervisor, somebody that I go to, someone that I go and share, but they have permission to ask questions. And sometimes they can be quite challenging questions, but that's because it needs to be happened. And that doesn't mean just because I'm a minister, we should all be thinking about, is there someone that I have in my friendship group or in my relationships that I can go to that they would say, they might bring me out and say, actually, that wasn't really appropriate. As I come into land, I really want to reference an illustration that we used back at one of the cafe churches a few months ago. And sorry, it's going to be, if you've seen it, you've seen it, and you all know it. Toothpaste. Great thing in a tube. But you squeeze it out. And now, if I was to say, right, okay, we need to get that back in here. Now, some of the clever people in the cafe church slid the bottom off and fed it back in. But then that means it's all open, it's not going to work, is it? Because I've done this as an illustration, because it's really hard to get the toothpaste back into that tube. Really hard. I could get maybe a little bit back in, but I'm not going to get all of that. And that's the same with what comes out. Once our words are out, you ain't getting them back. I know that there are these ideas now where you should be able, if you send an email, you can maybe get it back. I have no idea how that works. Or whether you can. But, you know, and actually I think on WhatsApp you can get these things where you can send a message and every now and then it comes off. You can get them so they're not time. Oh, is it? Yeah. But do you know what I mean? There's this thing we can be, it's this idea that we need to be measured because once it's out there, we ain't getting it back. We are not getting it back. Spoken or typed, it's very hard to take them back. So please, 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 I want you to think about this last practical thing. And I want you to write it down, if you can. Or memorize it. But if you can write it down, more helpful. There are one last practical thing I want to share. Consider the word think. Consider the word think. When looking to speak or type. Now, think stands for, is it true? Is what's going to come out true? Will it help? So often we'll say stuff thinking, is that really helpful? Probably not. Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? So I want you to write it or photograph it or whatever. It's something for you to take with you. Because if we cannot answer yes to all of these, then we should perhaps, or we shouldn't, in fact, not perhaps, we shouldn't say or type it. Okay? We shouldn't say or type it. And that's whether we're, yeah, and that's an, this is a point that's relevant whether we know Jesus or not. This is just a good way of behaving as a human being. But I believe as a Christian, this is honouring how Jesus would want me to live. He calls us to be different. He calls us to be different. So this morning, before God, I encourage us to pledge ourselves to faithfulness in all the different ways that we can speak and type. All the ways. There they are. Challenge. It's a real challenge. It's a challenge whether we are in, you know, government, or we are a teacher, or we're in a family, in our work life. Because we, it's very easy to destroy people within 2 seconds of opening a mouth. Okay. We're going to pray, and the worship group are going to lead us in our final hymn. But again, we've already mentioned a couple of times about the big prayer ministry here. But actually, I want to encourage people to perhaps, maybe they've been challenged, and I want to invite you just to think for a moment about what I've shared. Maybe you've been convicted. Maybe you've been convicted because what comes out of your mouth is not honouring, is disgusting. And maybe you need to stand before God and say, God, I'm sorry, and I want my mouth, I want to be cleansed of that, I want to be changed, I want to be transformed. So we're going to have an opportunity as we begin to sing, or before we sing, I want you, if you feel that's you, I want you to stand. But I also, if you think, actually, I really want to turn my mouth around, I want to see loving words coming out of my mouth, I want to see honouring words coming out of my mouth, I want to see me building people up, then I want you to stand. So let's stand now. If you wish to stand, I'm not forcing anybody, so I'm not even going to look because we're going to pray. But if that's you, I want you to stand. Like I said, even if you feel you want to be have a, your mouth being speaking positive words, or if you just feel, God, I feel convicted and I need you to work in my heart because what comes out is not of you, then I want you to stand for that. There's no distinguishing. We're just standing. Father God, we stand before you. I stand before you as someone who is imperfect, whose tongue still needs to be tamed. Father, the people that are standing, again, they're coming before you saying, Lord, we need our tongues. Lord, we want to be people that speak boldly of you, but also speak words of love and care and encouragement. And Lord, for some of us, it's actually, God, I just feel convicted that what comes out of my mouth is not good. It is like I'm spreading muck. And Lord, I pray you would be with us. You would transform our hearts, our minds, our very being. Lord, your verse that we are looking at here says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and have your love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, that is root to what comes out of our mouth. So, Lord, please, meet with us now as we sing this last hymn, this last song, and may we know your Spirit moving in our lives.